glad to have you with us for another uplifting word. We're going to the Word today and look at Abram meets the name changer. Abram meets the name changer. Abram was about 90 years old. He and Sarah had waited for a child for many, many years. But it seemed like there was just no hope anymore of either one of them bearing a child. But the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "Abram, no longer will you be called Abram." What's the significance of that? Well, the name Abram meant exalted father. It was a term of dignity, of reverence, a great name. But God was saying, "Hey, Abram, I am ready to change your name. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham." Abraham means father of a multitude. In Hebrew, God was saying, "I want you to change your name, Abram, to father of a multitude." Can you imagine that? A childless man calling himself father of a multitude. But that's exactly what God did. He changed Abram's name. And as I was reading this, I wondered why God changed Abram's name. Well, I think there's something encouraging for all of us in this. God changed Abram's name to help Abram see self through God's eyes. The Lord wants every one of us to start seeing ourselves as He sees us. God saw Abram as the father of a multitude. Let's listen to these words. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2.
"I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing."
I will make you into a great nation. And yet, Abram and Sarah, well, they were about 65 years old. She must have been about 55 years old. And no children. But God said, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." You see, that's the way God saw Abram. He saw Abram as a father of a multitude. Listen to this. Genesis 13, verse 16.
"I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted."
Incredible promise to a man who has no children. And yet, that's the way God saw him. Listen to this. Book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 5.
"He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'"
Now we see God comparing the number of Abram's offspring to the grains of sand and then to the stars of the sky. How incredible! How absolutely unbelievable! And yet, you see, that's the way God saw Abram. One more verse. Genesis 17, verse 2.
"I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers."
I will greatly increase your numbers. That's the way God saw Abram. But you know what Abram saw? He only saw childlessness. Listen to his words. Genesis 15, verse 1 and 2.
"After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless?'"
God said, "Abram, I'm going to bring all my promises to pass for you." But notice what Abram said. "God, what can you do? What can you give me since I remain childless?" Abraham saw childlessness. God saw an innumerable multitude of offspring. So God changed Abram's name so Abraham would start seeing himself through God's eyes. My brother, sister, God is trying to accomplish the same thing in your life and my life. He wants us to start seeing ourselves the way He sees us. But we have such a difficult time doing that. We see our weaknesses, our failures, our inabilities, our smallness, our disappointments. We see everything in the world around us or in us, but we don't see ourselves through God's eyes. But that's what He's wanting to do. He's wanting to change us so that we see ourselves through the eyes of the Lord. Basically, the Bible is God's mirror. But when you look into this mirror, you don't see yourself reflected. You see in this mirror God's image of you. You see in this mirror God's imagination about you. You see how He foresees you becoming. God wants us to see self through His eyes. Let's read Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. And this is referring to Abraham. Notice what it says.
He is our father in the sight of God.
Look at that. Abraham was our father. Abraham was our father in the sight of God. Those words are so important. In the sight of God. So, brother, sister, God was trying to encourage Abram. He was saying, Abram, believe me. Believe me that I can take you and make you something significant. Believe me that I can take you and make you an overcomer. Believe me that I can take you and make you something good and beautiful and beneficial. He's saying the same thing to every one of us. Don't be discouraged, my brother and sister. In the sight of God, you are something treasured. You are a possession to be treasured, highly valued. None of us can properly value ourselves like God. He sets a value on us that is immeasurable. That's why He gave Jesus. I love Romans 5, verse number 8. It says that God demonstrates His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to improve. He didn't wait for us to become Christians. No, He gave His Son, Jesus, for us when we were still sinners because He was wanting to show us that we are exalted in His sight. That Abram's name meant exalted father. Well, brother, sister, God changed the father a multitude. Would you know? We could also apply Abram's name to you, exalted father. Now, you're not exalted father, but you are an exalted son of God. You are an exalted daughter of God. You were raised with Jesus Christ. Only God's word shows how God sees us. If you trust your imagination, you will never understand how much God values you. If you only depend on what people say about you, you will never comprehend how God feels about you. You have to go to the written word. And in the word, we find accurate descriptions of how God thinks about us, how God feels about us, how God sees us. Let's read about you. But basically, we're reading about how God feels about you. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future.
Isn't that beautiful? I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. So you see, you are reading God's word. You are looking into God's mirror, which is showing you what you are, what you can become. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Since you gave your life to Jesus, you became a new creation. On the outside, you look similar to what you've always been. But it says, the old is gone, the new has come. You are now God's child. You are now God's precious one. Romans chapter 8, verse 37.
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Isn't that beautiful? In all things, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. You are a supreme conqueror. You are superior to a conqueror. Why? Because you feel superior? No. Because you look superior? No. Because you look and feel like a conqueror? No. But because the Bible says you are. In everything, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you, is what the Bible says, so we believe it. Brother, sister, God said, Abram, I'm changing your name. Brother, sister, God's saying the same thing to you and me. We were children of the devil, but now we are children of God. We were members of the family of the devil, but now we are members of the family of God. We belong to Satan, but now we belong to God, because the Bible says it, and we believe it. So, brother, sister, say what the Bible says about you. Well, God changed Abram's name to help Abram see himself through God's eyes. Also, God changed Abram's name to rebuild Abram's self-confidence on a firm foundation. You see, God wants to take every one of us and build or rebuild our self-confidence on a firm foundation. Abram built confidence in himself, on himself. He was the foundation upon which he built his self-confidence. That's why he and Sarah designed the plan to conceive a child through Hagar. And then, of course, Ishmael was born and things got much worse and not better. We humans like to build self-confidence on ourselves. But when we stumble in life, whenever things don't go well with us, then our self-confidence crumbles. We lose self-confidence whenever we don't win in life. When life crumbles in around us. When failures set in. So many Christians have given up on their relationship to God because of lack of self-confidence. They failed and thought, well, I guess I'm finished. How many people in the ministry have quit the ministry because they were trying to build their self-confidence on themselves? No, brother, sister, we do not build self-confidence on self. We build unshakable self-confidence on God. He is the only sure, eternal foundation for self-confidence. Listen to what God said to this man, Abram, whose name he was changing to Abraham. Genesis 17, verse number 5.
No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.
Notice what God said. I have made. God pointed Abram to the Lord. He said, Abram, don't turn your eyes inward. Turn your focus upward. I have made you. Past tense. And this man and Sarah still had no children. But God said, I have made you a father of a multitude. He was saying, you and Sarah are childless, but I am the foundation of my own promises. And what I say will come to pass if you will believe me. If you will put your faith in me, then you will have self-confidence as well as God confidence. In fact, brother, sister, let's put it this way. Confidence in God always builds confidence in self. Whenever we don't have confidence in self, it's because we have lost our faith in God. But we're not going to do that. We're going to believe God, just like Abram believed God. This childless man said, okay, God, if you say it, I can believe it. It makes no sense to my head. It makes no sense to my logical mind. But God, if you say it, I believe it. I will live by your promises and not by human explanations. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
I can do everything. That's self-confidence. But it's not worldly self-confidence, because Paul went on with the statement. I can do everything through him, through the Lord. So you see, brother, sister, get in the Word. Spend time with the Word. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time fellowshipping with other Christians. And your self-confidence will flourish as your confidence in God grows. So God said, I want to change your name from Exalted Father to Father of a Multitude, so that every time you speak your name, Abraham, your confidence in me will grow. God always fulfills his promises. He always performs his purposes for us. Listen to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
This is those last two questions of the verse. They say,
does he speak and then not act?
Does he? Let's answer the question. Does he speak and then not act? Okay.
Does he promise and not fulfill?
Does he? Of course, we know the answer. When he speaks, he acts. When he promises, he fulfills. So God went to work, and God gave this childless man and his childless wife, Isaac. So, brother, sister, God is working in your behalf. Say with your own lips, God is the performer of his purposes for my life. God is the fulfiller of his promises to me. Listen to David's words in Psalm 57, verse number 2.
I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me.
When it looked like David would never, never in a million years become king of Israel, David penned these words. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Notice the word, God fulfills his purpose for me. So don't give up, my brother, sister. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downhearted. God is working for you. He's working in your behalf. That's just his style. In fact, we're going to go to Romans again, chapter 4, and read about Abraham. Notice what it says about our brother. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21.
Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised.
That's the key right there. This childless man was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Brother, sister, be convinced. Allow yourself to be convinced. Quit talking yourself out of the good things God wants to give you and the good things God wants to do in you and for you. So, we want to build our self-confidence on God. Go ahead, my brother, sister. Make application for that promotion on the job. Believe God for financial blessings. Take that position in the church that has been offered you. Don't talk yourself out of the good things of God because you have no self-confidence. Build that self-confidence on Him, and you can do it. You will do it. Well, there's another reason God changed Abram's name. First of all, God changed his name so Abraham would place his faith in God and see himself through God's eyes. Secondly, God changed Abram's name to rebuild Abram's self-confidence on God-confidence. But there's a third reason God changed his name. God wanted to fill Abram's words with overcoming power. He wanted to fill Abram's words with overcoming power. We overcome doubt with faith in God. It's very obvious. We overcome doubt with faith in God. But brother, sister, we have to realize something very, very important about faith. Faith resides in both our heart and our mouth. So many people say they believe God in their heart, but with their mouths they deny their faith in God. Look at what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it.
This is that. He said, don't let this word, these promises, out of your mouth, but meditate in this word day and night. So he's saying, put my word in your mouth and in your heart, in your mouth, in your speech, and in your meditation. Then you will make your way successful and prosperous. So faith must reside in both our heart and our mouth. That's how we become Christians. We become believers in Jesus. We become children of God by believing with our heart and confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We cannot go into the world and deny Jesus with our mouth and say we believe in Him with our heart. Listen to these words. Very familiar words. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved.
Now let's go through that again. Notice what is required to be saved, to be born again. It says,
if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
There it is. Heart and mouth go together. So God was saying, Abram, you're no longer to call yourself exalted father. You are to call yourself Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Saying his new name released mighty energy against doubt and fear. Every time this childless man said, I am Abraham, every time he signed his name Abraham, he was defeating doubt and fear. The doubt that said, you'll never have a child by Sarah. You'll never, never be a father of a multitude. Who do you think you are anyway? This invisible God has told you all these promises. There's no such thing as an invisible God, doubt shouted. But Abraham would call himself Abraham with his mouth. And every time he said, I am a father of a multitude with his mouth, he became more convinced in his heart that he truly was going to see God's promise come to pass. Same thing is going to happen to you and me. As we say with our mouths, the belief we have in our heart that our faith in God will become stronger and stronger, and doubt will have less and less effect upon us. Listen to these words, again about Abraham, but we're going to read again from Romans 4, this time verse 20.
He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God.
Look at that. He didn't weaken. He was strengthened. How? The last phrase of the verse. He gave glory to God. Every time he spoke his name, Abraham, he was glorifying God. He was recognizing God. He was crediting God. He was acknowledging God. So, brother, sister, every time we speak the word of God, every time we speak the word to ourselves or to others, whenever our others say, you can't be a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know God's going to help you? How do you know God's going to answer your prayer? We say the word. And as we say the word, our heart faith grows and blossoms. They go together. What you say with your mouth will strengthen your heart faith. And your heart faith will strengthen your confession of the gospel. Your confession, your acknowledgement of God's promises as true. So every time Brother Abraham spoke his name, he was strengthened to believe God. And sure enough, God, the name changer, kept his word to Abram and Sarah. Brother, sister, now remember, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. So please, speak boldly about your membership in the family of God. Speak boldly about your faith in his promises to help you. Let the name changer keep his word to you like he kept his word to Abram and Sarah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11 and verse number 12.
By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
This long passage says that Abram considered God faithful. Brother, sister, put your faith in God's faithfulness. Don't try to exert faith through your own effort. Relax like Abram relaxed in God. Put your faith in his faithfulness. Don't talk yourself out of the good things of God. Believe for the good things of God. Believe for better than the best, more than the most. Because I tell you, brother, sister, God's faithfulness carries you along in his plan for your life. God's faithfulness will never let you down. He is there with you just like he was there with Abram and Sarah. So, brother, sister, you have a name changer. You were called a nobody, but now you are called somebody, an exalted child of God. You were called a nobody, but now you are a member of God's eternal overcoming family. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We acknowledge you as the great God who can do more than we ever imagined possible. We love you, God, and in you we have faith. We praise you for victory. In the name of Jesus, amen.